WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's Place to Talk.
Hip, hip, hooray, let's give a cheer. It's 9 a.m., the signal's clear. Our favorite host is in the chair. The Truman Show is on the air.
It's the Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County.
The Truman Show is on the air. The Truman Show is on the air.
From Sylvan Park Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street, Truman Jones is on News Radio WGNS.
Good morning, Rutherford County, and Fred Goodwin and Larry Ralston. If I can keep the girls away from them this morning, we may have a radio show. Otherwise, I may be on all by myself.
Yeah, Judy White over here.
What in the world's going on, guys?
Sons of the Pioneers, what can I say? This Thursday.
That's cool water, isn't it?
Cool, clear water.
Yes. It's been my favorite group, I guess, as long as I can remember. Of course, we all went to the movie theater many years ago when we were all kids, and they were the number one group to listen to for me back then, and they're still around.
Still are, yeah.
Yeah, isn't that something? I was hearing one of the songs being played, and you having a hard time hearing me?
I'm okay now.
Oh, are you? And it sounded just like the old bunch. I mean, of course, nothing's always is going to be exact when you're listening to different singers. But boy, I mean, when they harmonize, there's nothing like it.
Well, they take great pride in that. They've been around since 1933. Am I coming in okay?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Whenever they have the same arrangement since 1933, when somebody passes on or they leave the group health-wise, whatever, they always bring somebody in to replace them with the same sound. Plus, you have to be a great musician also on stage.
Yeah. Now, you could mimic one of them almost to a T.
Well,
and tell them about the time that you were over at their house.
Oh, yeah.
And his wife thought that was him.
Peanuts.
Yeah. You sound just alike.
Well, I've always loved the Sons of the Pioneers since I was a little boy. And we used to go to the Princess Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love just listen to voices. They're mesmerized by it.
Yeah.
So I practiced learning that voice since probably 11, 12 years old. Bob Nolan. So I got to know Bob later on in life, and I knew all the guys.
Yeah.
And I went out to California in 1979, I think. And I spent 2 weeks with him. He and all the old cowboy stars out there. I was taking around all these different places. Jimmy Wakely.
Oh, I love him.
Jimmy was a very, very close friend.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was at old Bob's house, and I said, Bob, I can imitate you one song. I said, I know all your procedures. He said, you do, Fred? I said, yeah. I can't get my voice right now. Anyway, I said, trail-hooding cowboy, hop on your pony, sing it home. All day I faced the barren waste without the taste of water, cool water. Well, anyway, we were singing out there.
Perfect.
And, and so his wife comes out, Peanut, she says, Bob, what are you singing so early in the morning for? He puts his hands on his hips. He says, do I sound that bad? What a great guy.
Yeah.
He's just a wonderful guy.
You know, a lot of people may have not known some of the times when the Pioneers were in different movies.
Oh, they did about 97 motion pictures.
That's unbelievable.
More than anybody ever, you remember.
Yeah. You know, we kind of grew up with some of them, not even knowing that we had grown up with them, like Ken Curtis.
Oh, wonderful guy.
Yeah.
Wonderful guy.
He played in so many Westerns as one of the stars in those Westerns.
You know, he told me one time, he said, Fred, if there's anything I could do for you, please call me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was living in Orlando, Florida. Mayor Bill Frederick contacted me. He knew I was a big Pioneer fan. And somebody told him about it. Well, he's a big Ken Curtis fan. And he loved Gunsmoke.
Yeah.
So Bill Frederick contacted me. He said, do you know, how well do you know Ken Curtis? I said, I know him well. So I called Ken. Ken rushed off a letter and signed a book for him and everything else.
Oh.
And Ken always said, he said, dear Mayor Frederick, he says, my good friend Fred Goodwin, who resides in Orlando, Florida, told me about you, that you're a big fan. I want you to have this. Ken always made you feel good.
Yeah.
Never heard him use profanity at all. Just straight. None of the pioneers like that.
Well, you think, go all the way back to Roy Rogers. Of course, he was kind of the star of the group.
He started the group.
Time. Yeah.
He was a spark plug.
And, you know, they were the perfect role models for us as kids when we'd go to those movies and sit down and watch. You didn't see anything bad whatsoever when those movies were on. And
no.
It was a perfect example of raising kids the way they should be raised. And you got to know all of their families.
I knew the families, yeah. We used to go out to Las Vegas every year. And Larry Ross and my associate would always go with me, and my brother, Sam Goodwin. But we had this huge booth set up out in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And all the cowboy memorabilia type stuff. And a lot of the cowboys and their families would come by our booth. Every year, we did this probably, 12, 15 years. There's always somebody come by and say, well, my grandfather was one of the sons of pioneers.
Mm-hmm.
Or my great uncle. There's always some kind of relatives. Mainly their grandfathers. And I would ask them, what is your last name? And I said, well, I hate to tell you this, but your grandfather was never a member of the Sons of Pioneers. Remember that, Larry?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. And so she was really huffy. She walked off. And she came back next year. She said, you're right.
Oh.
He was with some other group. I knew all the families. I knew them all real well. They had children my age. And I've been associated with the group since 1967.
Now, you've had Roy's daughter.
Yeah, she's come to Murfreesboro at least three, four, I guess, a half dozen times.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And she's always been on your radio show. She comes in. She knows you, you know.
And they're a sweet bunch. They really are.
The whole Rogers family and all the pioneers, all the families stick together. And like the old days in the 1950s, you know, they did all the John Ford movies.
Yeah.
Wagon Master, The Searchers. And what was the other one, Larry?
Rio Grande.
Fantastic movie. You know, anyway, on Sundays, they would have get-togethers out in L.A., and they would invite the pioneers. The first thing they'd say, make sure you bring your instruments.
Mm-hmm.
So the pioneers, I'm talking about Harry Carey Jr., Ward Bond, Jack Pinnock. All the characters that were in the John Ford movies were there. John Wayne also.
Yeah.
And, of course, the pioneers supplied all the music. And they said the women folk would be inside preparing the meals for the men folk outside. Of course, they'd be indulging in their favorite beverage outside, smoking cigarettes. And
which was whatever. A glass of milk, right?
A glass of milk, exactly. Yeah. They love Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And but it was, that's what they did. They did this every, like, once a month for years out there.
You know, watching those John Ford movies that had all of them, of course, their characters would change from movie to movie, but it was something. There was a friendship with them that you almost didn't see anywhere else. And of course, John Wayne and Ward Bond were...
They played football together,
yeah,
USC.
Yeah. And they never lost that close touch. And whenever one maybe be down a little bit, you'd see them in one of their movies with somebody else. And it was fascinating. I mean, it really was.
Well, I knew Ben Johnson and Harry Carey. I knew all these guys. I was very fortunate to meet these people. They knew who I was, associated with the pioneers and my knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And they would come over to greet me at various functions in Oklahoma
That's
City,
neat.
Out in L.A., and Florida, Orlando. But they were all, I'm telling you, Truman, they were all nice, nice people.
Yeah.
They loved their fans. They loved to talk about the old cowboy days. And, of course, they were big pioneer fans back then also.
You know, Harry Carey Sr. was one of John Wayne's idols. He loved Harry Carey Sr.
He's my favorite old cowboy star. I love the way he talked, like the way he looked, and he's a neat character.
Was it the Angel and the Bad Man?
Mm-hmm.
He played the sheriff in that movie. Gail Russell was the girl that was John Wayne's
Quaker.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of my favorites. And just to listen to him talk, like you said, he was also in Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. He was the guy that was head of the Senate and always beat his gavel on the top when things weren't going right.
Great character actor. Probably one of the best character actors of all. One of the best character actors of all time.
Yeah.
Of course, my favorite character actor has to be George Gabby Hayes.
Oh, everybody loved Gabby. My goodness. But before we leave John Wayne and we're talking about Harry Carey, tell me about the end of the movie, The Searchers, when he walks out that door.
Well, the end part of The Searchers, the movie, which is considered the greatest Western of all time.
I think it is.
Most people would tell you that. And the Sons of Pioneers sang the theme music from the movie also. That Rio Grande, the Wagon Master. But anyway, John Ford, I think this is John Wayne's idea. When he walked out the door, he put his right arm across his left arm and walked out. And that's in the that's a tribute to Harry Carey Senior, because that's what he looked at a lot of the movies.
Yeah.
And they did several movies together.
Yeah, they did. And at the end, song at the end, that's the Sons of the Pioneers singing
to wonder what makes a man to roam.
So you ought to join the Pioneers and travel and sing with them.
I can't remember the lyrics. My problem is I can't remember the lyrics. Oh, I've sung with Pioneers, you know, behind closed doors and things like that. No, they've never asked me. I don't play an instrument either.
Tell me, the number one pitcher. You sell pitchers that are part of the nostalgia of a number of things, movies. People that are been great singers, but there's one pitcher that you've got that's all across the country that everybody knows.
The Moonshiners. You know, Butch, I can remember Dad coming home, 1950. We lived on, right across the street, Mama Jones, I don't know the name of the street, Woodcraft Drive.
Woodcraft,
like that. And 1950, Dad was the chief deputy, the only deputy sheriff George Sharp had back then. Mm-hmm. It's just the two of them, they controlled the law enforcement in Rutherford County. They didn't have anything back then.
Yeah.
But they had this moonshine still around. It's in the Kittrell area, somewhere out in the Kittrell area on the right-hand side, going out past Kittrell School somewhere.
Yeah, I don't think this one was any of my relatives.
No, I don't think so. But anyway, it's a great photo, and it's got a picture of Dad and George Sharp, who was really a good sheriff back then.
Uh-huh.
And then you had John D. Sanford, Highway Patrol. You had the two, I can't remember their names right now, Grady Haley and Hill. They were the state troopers.
Uh-huh.
They busted his steel, and they're all solemn, look solemn looking, if you can remember. And my father's the far left, tall, skinny guy. And Dad was.
I never remember him being that thin.
But people, Dad was always sort of comical. Like he said, "This is Barney Fife," you know.
Yeah.
They look like Barney Fife.
Yeah. I made some good money off Uncle Robert. Yeah. He used to give me a quarter to leave him and Aunt Jane alone. I did well.
Better watch out. I think she's listening this morning.
Yeah, she knows that story. Now, Larry.
Yes, sir.
You and Fred have been good friends for a long time. And, of course, you're over here at Premier 6, and everybody knows you when they run into you. I think everybody knows you, period, because you've got a lot of history here. But why do you travel with Fred when you go to these places like Las Vegas and things like that?
Well, it's after I kind of semi-retired in photography, and Fred needed some help in Las Vegas, and he said, "Hey, you want to go out there with me?" He said, "I can't really pay you anything, but we can have a lot of fun."
Yeah.
And I wasn't doing anything at the time, so I said, "Okay, I'll go out there with you."
He's paying you what you was worth, right?
And So I went out there, and we had a real good time. And but anyway, he said he couldn't pay me, but he ended up paying me anyway.
Yeah.
I don't tell people.
And so I've been going back every year with him. Yeah. I went out there for about 10 years. Fred had been going back and forth about 15, I guess. But we had a good time out there, met a lot of nice people. We met Joel McRae's grandson.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, Roy Rogers' daughter. She would always be in the booth with us most of the time selling her book. And Rex Allen Jr. Occasionally would be in our booth. He'd be singing, selling his CDs and so forth. So we got to meet a lot of people out there.
Y'all brought a lot of them right here to Murfreesboro, which... is interesting because a lot of people would just die to get all of those stars that we grew up knowing all of those years. And the sons, I mean, you can't think of those people, especially in the Western genre, without thinking about the Sons of the Pioneers. You just can't do it.
Well, one of the reasons he wanted me to go with him is because he knew I knew a lot about Westerns because I was just like him ever since I was a little boy. Always go to the Princess Theater and watch all these cowboy movies, you know. Well, first I'd go across the street to McClellan's and buy me a pea shooter. And I'd go up in the back and I'd always shoot.
So you were the
pea shooter. I'd always be shooting at the bad guys.
Remember when Truman Jr. was always sitting on the back row with his sweetheart, remember?
Now, you didn't call me Truman Jr., you called me Bush.
But we had a guy come by our booth one time and he says, "Do you know Gabby Hayes?" Oh, I mean, Gabby's real name.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and I said, "Yes, sir, I sure do." I said, "It's George Hayes." He said, no, it's Gabby Whitaker. I said, "No, that's the name he used in the movie theater."
Yeah.
People want to argue with us, you know.
So I called Fred over and I said,
"That's
Fred,
a losing proposition."
So I called Fred over and said, "Fred, this guy thinks Gabby Whitaker, that's his real name and not his acting name." Mm-hmm. So Fred had explained to him and set him straight that George Hayes was his real name.
You know, the amazing thing, and you told me this, Fred, Gabby made more money per movie than Roy Rogers.
He did. He made more money. Roy was under contract. Roy didn't make very much money. How Roy made his money was doing personal appearances.
Yeah. And stuff
records.
That he would sell.
Correct.
Yeah.
He was really, and everybody liked Roy because he had such a nice disposition about him.
Yeah.
And
well, that was kind of a marriage made in heaven when he and Dale Evans got married.
Well, I know a lot of stories about that, too.
Yeah.
When Roy's wife died, she died, Arlene. Mm-hmm. She died giving birth to Dusty. She had an aneurysm. Mm-hmm. And after she died, Roy started seeing Dale. And they would sneak over to Ken Carson's house, so the Sons of Pioneers, and Roy would ride his motorcycle over there, mm-hmm. or he had his roadster, yellow roadster out there, car, and he would park over there. And he's trying to keep it hidden from the gossip columns. Well, everybody in Hollywood knew what kind of car Roy Rogers drove, so they knew where he was staying the whole bit. But, yeah, they got together a few times at Ken Carson's house, and he popped a question to her at the rodeo out in Los Angeles. And that's how they got married. Yeah, people asked me about Dale. She was a nice, nice, they're all nice, Truman.
Yeah.
She was a little bossy, and she would try to tell Roy what to do, and Roy just go along with it. And he was such a great guy. We were going to have Dale in Murfreesboro several years ago. I can't remember, 10 years ago, Larry. It was right before she died. And we were going to have Dale and the Rogers Legacy, her granddaughters, on the stage at the Grand Ole Opry. Everything's set up, mm-hmm. and the Opry's going to take care of her. And she got to Nashville, and she's going to stay with Earl and Linda Roberts
mm-hmm.
here in Murfreesboro.
Yeah.
And but she had a slight stroke, and she just couldn't do it. The daughter said, "No, you cannot go anywhere." So she stayed out in L.A. But she was going to be in Murfreesboro. She was going to stay with us at Linda and Earl Roberts' place. They had a handicap place where you could walk up. They had it all fixed up, didn't they? Just couldn't make it.
You know, there was a rumor around here for years.
I know what you're going to say. It's not true.
About him buying a home right here in Murfreesboro. The well, old, he did like this area,
Okay, the old Haynes place out there on Lebanon Road.
Yeah.
What Roy would do, the word got out in the mid-50s that he wanted to buy this house, mm-hmm. this ranch in Murfreesboro. And they said they couldn't afford it. Well, that's not true. Roy, like what he liked to do is like he'd come to Nashville and he and Dale would ride around Middle Tennessee area. Just they loved the countryside. They loved Middle Tennessee.
Yeah.
You know, Trigger was sired in Reederville, Tennessee, by the Barker family over there. Oscar Barker, I don't know if I may be wrong. It was one of the Barker families.
Yeah.
That's where Kittrell was sired, and that is true. But as far as Roy wanted to buy this house on the Haynes property, I'll put a rest to that. That never happened, no. He might have saw the place and got out. He liked it, and that's, you know, rumors were spread back then. No, he was not interested in it.
Well, since you mentioned Trigger was his best friend, I guess.
Well, there's three Triggers.
Yeah. You had
Trigger, the one you saw, the main one you saw photograph was Trigger. Mm-hmm. Then you had Trigger Junior, Little Trigger. Then you had Trigger Junior. Little Trigger was smart. I mean, really smart. You see the Bob Hope movie called Son of Paleface?
Yeah.
Remember the scene with Trigger and Little Trigger's in, they were called Little Triggers. Trigger was in bed with Bob Hope.
Yeah.
And Trigger gets the cover, push it back over here on his side. It's really, really funny. Trigger was smart.
And you don't always associate a horse being that smart, but he seemed like a step above everything.
Okay, the original Trigger, Larry can tell you this. Larry was the original Trigger. What was his name?
Golden Cloud.
Golden Cloud.
What movie did he appear in?
Robin Hood with Errol Flynn.
Ah.
Made Marion come walking in, riding into the scene, and then that was Golden Cloud, which later became Trigger.
Oh.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. I like Trigger better. I like the name Trigger better than Golden Cloud.
Well, Golden Cloud, Roy didn't own him at the time. So Roy rented Trigger for a movie, and he liked him so well, he went and bought him. Well, later on, when his contract was
But he had to pay it installments, right?
Right,
Which you think, how in the world? I mean, biggest star at that time was Roy Rogers.
But when his contract came up for renewal, the people at the studio said, well, we're not going to give you a raise. And he said, well, I'm not going to act anymore. And they said, well, we can put anybody on Trigger and then make him a cowboy star. Mm-hmm. He said, no, you can't either. He said, why not? He said, because I own Trigger. So that was one of his best moves he made, is when he bought Trigger. That saved his career, probably.
Yeah, it seemed like they did not treat Roy Rogers with the respect that he deserved during that
time. He was under contract with Howard Yates at Republic Studio.
Yeah.
And Howard Yates was a penny pincher. And just penny pinchers what he was.
Yeah.
But they had his next contract, he made more money. But the first contract they had, I mean, ridiculous little salary, maybe, I'm serious, maybe $500 a week, maybe something like that.
The studios were king back then.
They were king back then.
A lot of the big stars were mistreated until I think that maybe their attorneys made things quite a bit different later on.
Like I said earlier, he made his money off personal appearances
and
merchandise. He was second only to Walt Disney in merchandise.
Wow. That's amazing. Of course, we all got the two-gun holster sets that with his name on them.
Back then, it cost maybe $7 or $8 for a two-gun holster set, maybe less than that.
Yeah.
And that's worth several hundred dollars.
Well, in some ways, he was a great businessman. In some ways, he wasn't. I mean, he was working just for such a low salary during that time, and he was at his peak. I mean, it was almost like a competition between Roy Rogers and Gene Autry.
But
Roy Rogers, but Roy Rogers seemed to be everybody's favorite. And he seemed to have his feet on the ground, too, because family meant a lot to Roy Rogers. And you didn't see him with the Hollywood crowd.
But no, he lived in Chatsworth, California back then. Then they moved to the high desert. What's the name of the town? Victorville and Apple Valley is where they lived. Last time I saw Roy was we had a benefit out of the museum in the early 90s, I guess. And anyway, we had this benefit for him, and he asked me, he said, cause he knew I'd seen Gene Autry lately. He said, how was Gene? I said, Roy, Gene is not doing too good. He said, I've got his telephone number. I'll call him.
Oh.
And then
I was.
Yeah, they were friends. I never heard Roy say anything bad about anybody. Never. He loved people. He just liked people, period. Loved the children. And when my little girl was born, Catherine, in 1982, he sent her a card, sent her a picture of himself and Trigger. Mm-hmm. Says, "Stay sweet for Roy Rogers and Trigger."
Oh.
And Catherine cherishes that to this day. I mean, when Roy died, Catherine said, "Daddy, you promised me you'd take me out to see Roy, and he's dead." I said, "Well, he's still in cowboy heaven."
Oh, isn't that something? You know, how blessed can you be to have a hero when you were just a young kid, watch him on the screen, and then becoming friends with he and his family? That's pretty special.
Yes, I think about that sometimes because I'm very fortunate. People have been good to me, you know?
Yeah.
And they knew who I was out there, and people were good to me. I knew all the cowboys. Actually, people think I was closer to Bob and Roy than anybody. Actually, my closest friend out there was Jimmy Wakely.
Yeah.
"One has my heart and the other has my name." Great guy.
What do you think, Larry? I think since he started singing, he should finish the whole song, right?
I told you I can't remember the lyrics. I know thousands of songs. I know, but I can't remember all the lyrics.
Some of the Walt Disney movies.
Oh.
Who was the voice of some of those? Because you corrected me one time.
Yeah, for years you kept telling me.
Yeah.
Pecos Bill was Rex Allen. Narration was Rex Allen.
It sounded just like him to me.
It was Roy Rogers.
Yeah. I mean, when I listened to it, I thought it was Rex Allen.
Truman, to this for day, years, Truman kept saying, "No, Fred, no, it's Rex Allen." Yeah. And I said, "Butch, it's not that way. It's Roy Rogers." What they did, they went to, it's called Walt Disney's Melody Time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a segment in there about Pecos Bill.
Yeah.
And Roy did the narration of it, Pecos Bill, for the movie. And the Sons of the Pioneers did all the voice tracks. They did all the singing. Blue Shadows on the Trail and Pecos Bill. And they still use those songs in their repertoire today in their show. They still sing.
Are they going to be singing those?
Yeah, they should be singing those
songs like that when they come here.
Yep.
And all they're going to be here Thursday, right? This Thursday.
One of the guys will be, Tommy Nally, the spokesman for the Sons of Pioneers, will be right here in Murfreesboro that morning on WGNS at Sylvan Park Hotel, Sylvan Park Inn, on the Truman Jones Show.
Yeah.
Now, Truman, Rex Allen Sr., he was one that did all the Walt Disney wildlife narrations.
Yeah.
And you always...
That's how I got them mixed up. They sound alike to you?
Not really. I mean, to me, Rex Allen had a really distinct voice.
He did.
And it was a voice you could listen to all day long.
His son does, too.
Yeah. I got a trivia question for you. Who was the first movie star to demand $1 million?
It was what?
I got a trivia question for you.
Oh, I could tell you
who
that.
Who was the first movie star to demand $1 million for a movie and got it?
I'm all shook up.
Mm-hmm. No.
It wasn't Elvis?
Steve McQueen. And Bullet.
Now, he demanded it. Did he get it?
He got it. Sure did.
Because he was just starting to rise up when he made that movie.
Now, he'd been around quite a while when he got that movie.
Do you remember, of course, The Magnificent Seven?
Mm-hmm.
He and Yul Brynner fought for airtime all the way through that movie.
That's right.
And Steve McQueen, of course, he became a big star, but he pushed himself hard.
Right.
He really did. I think he was on PR man. So, now, where do you get that kind of information?
I heard it on the news one time.
Are you sure it's accurate?
Yes, it wasn't fake news. They didn't have fake news that far back.
How long, you see, they created fake news, what was it, a year ago or 2 years ago?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah. It's kind of like watching a movie anymore. You don't know what's real and what's not real anymore.
That's true.
It's crazy. We're living in a different world. Now, one of the pioneers is going to be on the radio
Tommy
show.
Tommy Nally.
He's going to be on at 9 o'clock Thursday morning.
Correct.
And then the big time is going to be, they're going to be at Patterson Park, right?
At the Patterson Park Theater. This Thursday, the 26th, at 7 o'clock.
Uh-huh. And it's going to start people getting there about 6.
I highly recommend. We've already sold over 100 and a half tickets already.
Wow.
And
So they better, if you're going, and you should go. You don't want to miss this.
No, this is once in a lifetime coming to Murfreesboro. People come up to me, Truman, and they say, how did you get these? How did you get the Sons of Pioneers to Murfreesboro?
Yeah.
I said, well, close friendship, you know.
Yeah.
So
they're going to bring back a lot of memories.
Well, people have come up to me and they said, these are my father and mother's favorite group when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And they have tears in their eyes. And you will be, you will get tears in your eyes when you see this group.
Yeah.
And it's just all the songs they sing you've heard of. Because they wrote the songs.
Mm-hmm.
They wrote all their music. They didn't need anybody else. They did all their music.
What was the biggest seller that they had? Now, I know Cuckoo Waters is really great. Tumbling Tumbleweeds, Ghost Riders in the Sky.
Those are big standards. Let me tell you about Ghost Riders in the Sky. They were under contract, recording contract with RCA Records, mm-hmm. from 1945 to 1969, about 25 years there, I think. But they were under contract. So RCA came to them in 1949 and said, hey, we got this great song we think. It's going to be a big hit. We'd like for you guys to record it. And Bob Nolan heard the song and said, no, it sounds too much like When Johnny Comes Marching Home Again, Hoorah, Hoorah. And they turned it down. They did not believe it. They felt like it was plagiarism. So they didn't want to record the song. Well, they gave it to Bob Monroe, and boy, overnight, it was a $1 million hit. Bing Crosby, Burl Ives, K-Star, Tennessee Ernie Ford, all had big hits on that song. Pioneers had the second biggest hit there was. And but the first, Bob Monroe was the first in the Sons of Pioneers.
Yeah, I know
the
which
Pioneers
one it
arrangement
is.
Yeah. Arrangement is fantastic on that song.
Mm-hmm.
But I recognize those three songs. Their last chart record, big time chart record, was probably 1940, when 49, 45 had a big hit called Cowboy Camp Meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had a song called Cigarettes and Whiskey and Wild Wild Women. They drive you crazy, they drive you insane. They had a big hit on that. Of course, Room Full of Roses. But the Pioneers were record album sellers. And they catered to middle to upper class people, mm-hmm. that liked cowboy music. They did not like country music, they liked cowboy music. There's mm-hmm. a difference between cowboy music and country music.
Yeah.
Country music is more twangy, it's more heartbroken songs. Divorce and running around, truck driving, that kind of thing. The Sons of Pioneer Western music is strictly about the outdoors, nature, the ecology end of it, and about the famous gunfighters and the Old West. That's mm-hmm. the Sons of Pioneers Western music.
Yeah.
They created the music.
There's no doubt about that. And nobody has ever been able to copy them that I know of.
Well, there's a group in Nashville who's also a close friend of mine. We used to be roommates, Doug Green of the Riders in the Sky.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the nearest thing to Sons of Pioneers you're going to find. And, of course, they copied their same arrangements. And they're really fantastic, the Riders in the Sky. If you ever have a chance, go see them because they are very, very good. They're out of Nashville. But the Sons of Pioneers is the real thing. That's just about as high as you can go. They want every accolade there is.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and Larry is trying to get my attention, so we'll allow him to talk a little bit when we get back.
From Sylvan Park Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street, it's the Truman Show on News Radio WGNS, FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and streaming online at WGNSradio.com.
When it comes to dependability, safety, and value, no one can beat a Honda. And no one can beat a deal from Honda of Murfreesboro, your hometown Honda dealer. Great deals, huge selection with over 100 pre-owned vehicles in stock. Make Honda of Murfreesboro your first and last stop. Visit your hometown Honda dealer. Honda of Murfreesboro, a proud Blue Raider sponsor. HondaofMurfreesboro.com.
The Sons of the Pioneers are coming to Murfreesboro October the 26th on a Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. at the Patterson Park Theater.
See them tumbling down.
Tickets are on sale for $25 each, and to get yours, call 615-890-3047. Don't miss this celebrated group of all time, the Sons of the Pioneers, Thursday, October the 26th, 7 o'clock p.m. at the Patterson Park Theater.
If you are looking for a place to get well before returning home or to assisted living, look no further than Northside Healthcare Nursing and Rehabilitation Center. Northside features a state-of-the-art therapy department offering physical, occupational, and speech therapies, provides daily activities so that residents can make the most of their time at Northside. They work to ensure that their residents receive the very best medical care possible. Get well, live well at Northside Healthcare on East MTCS Drive beside Middle Tennessee Christian School.
Sylvan Park Restaurant on Northwest Broad, across from the Ford dealer, host of the Truman Show live broadcast.
It's family. I mean, it's like eating a meal with most of the people that you know. So you open at 6:30 in the morning.
And we close at 2:30 Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. 7:30 on Thursdays and Fridays. Close at 1 on Saturdays. 6 days a week at 6:30, serve breakfast. We want to thank Murfreesboro for supporting us, because if it wasn't for them coming in, we wouldn't be here.
Stop in for a great meal at Sylvan Park Restaurant on Northwest Broad, across from the Ford dealer. Standing Murfreesboro strong. For News Radio WGNS, I'm Brian Barrett.
We are Murfreesboro strong. We are Murfreesboro strong. We are Murfreesboro strong.
We are Murfreesboro, and we stand together.
Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland, along with several community religious leaders, are coming together to denounce the planned Saturday White Lives Matter rally. The mayor begins by saying, "No one can deny we live in a blessed community.
We're one of the fastest growing communities in the country, the fastest growing city in the state. One of the things that I'm most proud of in this community is not just that we're growing, but it's the people who live here. That's truly what makes Murfreesboro a blessed community to live in."
The mayor goes on to say many years ago he was able to get together a group of pastors to come together when we have issues in the community in an effort to unite. Pastor James McCarroll of First Baptist Church.
"We are diverse. We are strong."
Pastor Brady Cooper of New Vision Baptist.
"We detest inequality. We abhor prejudice and we denounce injustice."
Dr. David Young at North Boulevard Church of Christ.
"We are a community that serves others and the world."
Reverend Vincent Wendrow of Olive Branch Church.
"We extend grace to those with whom we agree and to those with whom we do not."
Pastor Corey Trimble with Experience Community Church.
"We refrain from violence of fist, tongue, and heart."
Pastor Alan Jackson with World Outreach Church.
"We are Murfreesboro, and we stand together."
The local leader of the NAACP is encouraging citizens of Rutherford County to steer clear of the planned weekend rally and the expected counter-protest. Katie Wilson is president of the Murfreesboro NAACP.
"We just encouraging the community not participate that whole day, just stay away. We want people to be safe. We have a peaceful city right now."
I'm Brian Barrett, News Radio WGNS, and we are Murfreesboro Strong.
Let's go sell something. Comas Montgomery Realty and Auction Company has been in business for over 40 years. We specialize in online and live auction, residential, commercial, farmland, personal property, and more. Check out some of our upcoming auctions throughout Middle Tennessee.
Absolute Auction, featuring two-bedroom, all-brick home on large corner lot at 621 Kingwood Drive in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Bid now, online or on location, Saturday, October 28th at 10 a.m. Estate Auction, featuring three-bedroom, two-bath, two-car garage, fixer-upper at 6207 Lee Avenue in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Held on location Saturday, October 28th at 11 a.m. Auction, featuring two tracks, eight-room building with barn on 2.5 acres, and four-bedroom, two-bath home on 2.74 acres in Manchester, Tennessee. Held on location Saturday, November 4th at 10 o'clock a.m.
Give us a call today to book your auction, 615-895-0078, or see us on the web at comusmontgomery.com.
Time to get an update on the forecast from the Honda of Murfreesboro Broadcast Center, your hometown Honda dealer. At 1625 South Church Street, check out their new and pre-owned inventory at hondaofmurfreesboro.com.
Weather-wise,
we'll see mostly sunny skies here this afternoon with a high in the lower 60s. West winds of 5 to 15 miles per hour, gusting as high as 25. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Right now, 54.
Premier Six Theater on Broad and Jackson Heights, showing all of your favorite movies. Call their hotline, 896-4100, or go seeamovie.com. Popcorn pop fresh daily. Their movie hotline, 896-4100, or go seeamovie.com. Premier Six on Broad and Jackson Heights.
All day I faced a barren waste without the taste of water. Cool water.
from Sylvan Park Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street. It's the Truman Show on News Radio WGNS, FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and streaming online at WGNSradio.com.
That is,
boy,
you
can't
goodness.
Get tired of that music.
No,
you cannot get tired of that music.
I could listen to that 24 hours a day. And I know one time I was when I was in law enforcement, I couldn't sleep at all. And you got me copies of the Sons of the Pioneers so I could just kind of lay on the couch a little bit.
And it worked too, didn't it?
It did. I mean, there's nothing that would calm me down better than listening to that. It's just unbelievable. And you know, being able to share the Sons with your grandkids and your kids has to be a special thing. And if you were a true lover of Western music and the old Westerns and things like that, you've got to bring your grandkids to see the performance this coming Thursday night.
This Thursday night at Patterson Park.
Yeah, now that's a special time.
Yeah, we do have some grandfathers bringing their little sons in.
Yeah,
and they're coming, and they're excited about it, the music.
Yeah,
they love the Sons of the Pioneers. Everybody loves Sons of the Pioneers.
Oh gosh, especially me. Larry was fighting for airtime a minute ago.
Well, outside cool waters. Mm-hmm. Tumbling Tumbleweed and Ghost Riders in the Sky. Do you have any idea what my next favorite song by the Sons of the Pioneers is?
I know.
But you know, you probably never heard this song.
You got to sing it now, Larry.
You sing it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, here's a story I would tell how I love my little gal.
That's it.
It's called I Still Do. Bob Nolan wrote it. Bob Nolan wrote a lot of love songs, too. People think he's a strictly cowboy. He wrote love songs. And that's one of them. That was a top 10 hit.
Well, what was the name of this? What was the name of
this? I still do.
I still do.
Mm-hmm. That's the name of it. Beautiful
song.
Well,
you're right. I don't remember that song.
It's a beautiful song. You kind of go back and reminisce your young
when
days.
When was it written? When was it performed? All right, guys.
I bought it on a CD. I mean, not a CD, but I bought it on a 33 and a third record back during the 70s, late 70s.
It's called The Best of the Sons of the Pioneers on RCA Victor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. You know, those 33 and a third records are coming back.
Yep.
People are starting to purchase stereos and things like that to can play them again. And I still think they sounded better back then.
We will have some of those original albums for sale. We're going to have all the old cowboy music memorabilia for sale that evening at the Patterson Park.
And how far back do those songs go?
That we'd be selling to 1930s.
Yeah. Now, I know that there are a lot of people our age that are going to be there wanting those. I mean, I'm going to get them.
You know what's going to happen. After the concert, people are going to walk up to me, which always happens. They say, how come I just found out about Sons of Pioneers? I said, well, I've had it on radio. I've had it in the newspapers, talk shows. I said, I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
And you just forgot about it, didn't hear it one.
Anybody grew up with them, they'll have to be there. Well, because that's some of the best memories we've got.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize, I brought them here in 1973. I was just fresh out of the Navy, and I was a senior at the university here. And I already knew the Pioneers. So I brought them to Murfreesboro, February 1973. I put them on the Grand Ole Opry. We did the Bill Anderson radio show. Bill Anderson TV show. Mm-hmm. We were on WMTS, really promoted big for the whole week as Sons of Pioneer Week.
Yeah.
Mayor Westbrook's proclaimed Sons of Pioneer Week. Had a picture-taking session with them, giving the key to the city. And the only place, this is true, the only place back then that we could have a venue that would hold enough people, right type of size and everything, believe it or not, was the Moose Lodge.
Wow.
And lots, there'll still be some people still walk up to me and say, boy, I saw the Sons of Pioneers in 1973 at the Moose Lodge. And back then, it was a private club.
Mm-hmm.
All we could get in was through a membership. Well, there's a lot of people want to go see them. And
I bet their membership went up.
Well, I know Brother DeHoff, he brought his whole congregation, I think.
Wow.
And it was a complete sellout that night. One side is an L shape out there. There's mm-hmm. a band in the front. It's L shaped. And the church, all the church going people, Pioneer Fan Church to the right. We have people coming in from Columbia, Tennessee, throughout Middle Tennessee, mm-hmm. and from Kentucky and Northern Alabama. And the left-hand side where the party were the dancers. They got there and danced, and they had a local band there. It was something else.
I've never seen anybody dance to the Sons of the Pioneer.
No, you don't dance to the Sons of the Pioneer. No, yeah. You don't do that at all. No. Yeah. You listen. And you're a gentleman. You take off your cowboy hats and not disrupt anybody in front of you.
Yeah. That's kind of special, isn't it? Now, how did you originally... I know that you were a DJ here in Murfreesboro for a while.
I was an FM announcer for 4 years at WMTS FM 96.3 on your FM dial. And I had a lot of fun doing that. Tom Perriman was a maverick. He started the whole genre of the big band music. And I had knowledge of it. But I have to get Tom Perriman the credit for it. And he brought me in, and we expanded more. We were throughout Middle Tennessee, northern Alabama, southern Kentucky. We had a big listening audience out there. And we incorporated the Sons of Pioneers with big band music because the same type people liked the same type of music like that. Mm-hmm. And that's how we resurrected the group, Sons of Pioneers, on RCA. They called me from New York, said, hey, we understand what you're doing down in Tennessee. They called this the Nashville market.
Mm-hmm.
So we like what you're doing. And we're going to come out with a 2-record set on Sons of Pioneers. Would you write the liner notes? I said, oh, my gosh, yes. So I wrote the liner notes, and I still have my original liner notes. The album I did. It's called Sons of Pioneers, Riders in the Sky.
Wow.
That's the name of the album. It's a 2-record set.
Yeah.
And the Riders of the Sky Western Singing Group, Doug Green, took their name from my record album. Did I tell you that?
No. Wow.
It started everything off right there. We had them at the Moose Lodge, Murfreesboro, places in Nashville. And we even did the Veterans Hospital out here.
They were just really popping the airway back then.
Yeah, two of the guys, Lloyd Perriman and Dale Warren.
Perriman is in Texas now.
No. Oh, you're talking Tom Perriman.
Yeah, Tom Perriman.
Lloyd Perriman of the Pioneers.
Yeah.
They were not related.
Yeah.
But Tom always told Lloyd, says, Lloyd, if anybody ever asks you, we're kin to each other, we're first cousins.
And he's got one of the biggest hit radio shows in Texas.
He's got one of the biggest radio shows in the United States.
And he's still going strong, which is amazing.
And he's 91 years old. And he's at work every day. He does extremely well. Still the same type of voice. Tom's got a lot of friends.
Yeah, he does.
Here we are in Las Vegas. People walk up to me and say, you from Murfreesboro, Tennessee? I said, yes. And you know Tom Perriman?
Yes, yeah. He was special.
Well, Fred also wrote a book on the Sons of the Pioneers, too.
Oh, did you?
A real good book.
Yeah, I wrote a book on Sons of the Pioneers called Tumbling Tumbleweeds, and it's nationwide, and it's in all the major Western museums. And
does it take in
we talk about Murfreesboro
when they started
from 1933 on.
Yeah,
we did. It's a good book. We would have it for sale that night.
How could a guy from Ohio be so successful in Western movies? We're talking about Leonard Sly.
He persevered, man. I'm telling you, he knew exactly what he wanted, and he went after it, and he stuck to it. And he came up during the Depression. They didn't have any money at all.
Yeah.
None of these people had money. And, of course, he knew exactly what kind of sound he wanted. He didn't want to be a regular old Western band out there. Or they called it hillbilly music back then.
Yeah.
And he called country. It's called hillbilly. You have to give Eddie Arnold a lot of credit for changing that word usage from hillbilly to country music. But anyway, he wanted something different, and it developed the three-part harmony sort of style, which is persevered to this day. And that's how it started right there. And they practiced and they practiced. They rehearsed every day. I mean, long hours a day. They had two radio shows out in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and they did extremely well. And so they were the third recording artist signed for Decca Records, like in 1934.
You know, there were a lot of singing cowboys.
Lots of singing cowboys.
But they had, not all of them were good.
No.
No, they developed a sound that nobody else had.
It all started out in L.A. is where the whole genre, where the whole concept started out there out in L.A.
Yeah. You were wanting to add, Larry?
Well, I'll tell you a little story that every Saturday morning, like a lot of other people when I was a little boy, I'd always go to the Prince's Theater and watch all the cowboy movies.
Which is now the Premier Theater.
Right. So now, when I got out of the Prince's Theater, I'd go across the square to the Roxy Theater and watch the B-Westerns over there that the Princes didn't get.
Yeah.
Well, my mother always told me, do not go to the Roxy Theater. You get in trouble. Don't go over there.
Take your BB gun with you.
Right. So I went over there one Saturday, and John Hood, who was working for WGNS at the time, he was over there broadcasting live. And he knew me because we lived on the same street. And he said, young Ralston, come up here for a minute. I go up there.
Ralston,
yeah. And so I went up there, and John asked me a few questions. I don't remember what he asked me, but I answered him and everything. And I went home, and my mother said, where you been? I said, I went to the Prince's Theater. And she said, did you go to the Roxy?
You lied to your mother.
And I said, no, ma'am, I didn't. And she said, you did so because I heard you on the radio. So I got in trouble.
You know, we all have good memories of John Hood, don't we?
We certainly do.
I mean, I remember when he was calling our Little League games back in the old days. I mean, he is a rock. They need to build. I started to say they need to build a statue of him, but somebody will get mad and tear it down. So I guess we don't need to spend the money.
Well, he's an icon in this town right here.
So yeah, yeah.
Well liked by everybody, and he's always done a great job and represented Rutherford County very well.
Can you buy tickets anywhere early?
Yes, you can. You can call my office number 615-890-3047. Again, 615-890-3047. I hand delivered personally 15 tickets yesterday. People immersed for one ticket.
Yeah.
I took it to them. I'm going to make sure they get them.
That's
in time.
Before we started advertising.
Exactly.
You know, it starts at 6. Now, we're talking about this Thursday.
This Thursday, 26th.
Yeah, so you have very little time if you're going to purchase them early. But where can you go anywhere to actually be able to pick them up? I mean, is there a venue of any type that you can?
Not really.
So it's called Fred.
What about Patterson Park? Is there any?
No, they're not set up like that out there.
They're not?
No.
But they can buy tickets at the door when they come to that.
Now, it's just going to be one showing, right?
One show.
So you want to be there at least by 6 or before
o'clock.
7 o'clock. You need to be there before 7.
The tickets are only $25 each.
Yeah,
we could have gone to the Franklin Theater in Franklin, Tennessee, and venue over there. They're going to charge $75 a seat. I said, no, I'm not going to subject in my Pioneer fans to pay $75. This is lower price right now, $25 a ticket. Mm-hmm. You're getting to see the first class act coming to Murfreesboro. You know, people always complain in the past, well, we don't play good. They don't bring good acts in college. Well, that's true. They don't bring anything good out to college anymore. There's not anybody. They don't promote anybody out there. This is the first time we brought somebody from out of state that's a well known group, and it should be a sellout.
And the door is open at 6 o'clock.
Show starts
at 7, and I'd highly recommend everybody get there about around 6 o'clock so you can mix and mingle with people.
Yeah, and if you want to purchase any of the items early, you can go over there and make sure that you're not going to get in a long line, which I'm sure there will be a long line.
We hope so.
Yeah.
But we are prepared for a long line, though. We are prepared. We're pretty well organized. Larry may not know what he's going to do, but he and my brother Sam are in charge of tickets, front gate, front door.
Now, can the fans that are going to be there, can they ask for specific songs that may not be on their list?
I'm sure there is. Their repertoire is about 3,000 or 4,000 songs.
Mm-hmm.
And when Lloyd Perriman was leading the group, you had to know 3,000 to 4,000 songs.
Wow.
That's how many songs they recorded. And, yes, there's always some pop-up questions. When I first saw the Pioneers out in Knott's Berry Farm out in California, May 1970. I just got back from overseas, from Okinawa, and my plane landed at the El Toro Marine Base there. And my brother Sam was out there to pick me up.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went to Denny's restaurant, and I had an American hamburger in 2 years. And so we had Denny's restaurant, looked in the paper, Los Angeles Times, the Sons of the Pioneers were appearing the next day at Knott's Berry Farm in Anaheim, California.
Yeah.
I had to go. I couldn't believe it. This is my welcome home gift.
Yeah.
So I went to, and I met all the guys. I hung around, talked, asked questions. They were amazed how much knowledge I had with the group. That's why I corresponded with Tim Spencer, one of the original members.
Mm-hmm.
I got Lloyd Perriman's attention. I said, I'd like to bring you guys to Nashville, put you on the Grand Ole Opry. Said, yeah, kid. Yeah, I'd love to do it. Well, they thought I was, you know, blowing smoke. And no, I did, you know. 2 years later, I brought him to Nashville. 3 years later, I brought him to Nashville,
mm-hmm.
put on the Grand Ole Opry. And that resurrected their career right there, and that and the Murfreesboro trip.
The crowd that goes to the Grand Ole Opry, I bet they absolutely loved them.
Yeah, they'll be in the marquee. They're going to be here first and on their trip and on Thursday night.
Uh-huh.
Then Friday night, they'll be at the Grand Ole Opry. And Saturday night, they're going to be in Cartersville, Georgia at the museum, Western Museum there. And they come back, and they're going to be in Red Bowling Springs on, what day is that, Larry?
Yeah, I believe it's that Monday.
Monday or Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. At the hotel there?
Donahoe Hotel. They're going to be at the Donahoe Hotel.
Mr. Stroop.
Mr. Robert Stroop's bringing them in. And they've already sold half their tickets already over at Donahoe Hotel, Red Bowling Springs.
They're going to have a great trip over here.
Yeah. They know about Murfreesboro. You talked earlier to Tommy now, and he will definitely be here this Thursday.
Yeah.
And if anybody wants to have questions.
So we're going to have another show Thursday morning. Correct. And he's going to be our guest. And I think that if somehow the ball is dropped as far as getting your tickets, we'll have more information for him Thursday morning, which it's going to be interesting talking to him because I wish, you know, the sounds are so alike between the old
It's still
group.
The same.
The
only thing that's changed is the Bob Nolan voice, and that's it. Everything else is still the same.
Did you ever think about singing with them since you sound so much like
I can't remember
like Bob Nolan?
I don't have a stage fright. I don't have problems with that. I've been on the stage with the Pioneers, you know, introductions, that type of thing. From East Coast to West Coast, I've handled all their shows.
Yeah.
And I've had a great time. The people that show up, they bring their kids with them, they bring their grandchildren with them, and the kids love them.
Mm-hmm.
They love them.
Now, what is your favorite song?
Blue Prairie.
I like that.
Blue Prairie, blue echoes ring, blue as I sing. On the long and blue. You sound a lot better than I do, though.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so, too. It's tough singing without an instrument, I promise you.
You know, even when it's kind of done in fun, those type music, the Three Amigos, when they're singing around that, around the fire.
That was fun.
Oh, I mean, it just... I've got that record, and every once in a while, I'll play it just to hear that song. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
You know, people always come up to the Pioneers and interviews and say, who's your favorite artist? Back in the old days, they loved Rosemary Clooney.
Mm-hmm.
They loved Frankie Lane. They liked Perry Como.
Yeah.
They did some recordings of Perry Como, You Don't Know What Lonesome Is, and Tumbling Tumbleweeds.
Yeah.
But now today they'll tell you they love Marty Robbins and they like Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably about it. Because they love the Riders in the Sky too.
Yeah. Well, we've run out of time, guys.
Oh no.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Well, Truman, thank you so
much
for
having us.
I can stay here all day. And we'll see you Tuesday.
I will see you Thursday morning.
Thursday
morning at 9:00, and that'll be the preview for everybody that wants to hear them because it's going to be 6:00. Over at Patterson, and then if you don't have your tickets, and Fred gave you the number where you can call.
615-890-3047.
And I guess you can have a list and hold those tickets for the people.
Yes. Oh, yes.
That's going to be pretty neat.
Our buddy, you know Don Midget, he's coming over. He bought 20 seats.
He did?
He bought 20 seats, yes. And we're going to have some celebrities there that night. Roy Rogers' grandson, Rob Nelson, will be there.
Uh-huh.
He's a Baptist preacher over in Brentwood, Tennessee.
Oh, wow.
But he'll be there. And Lynn Anderson's parents will be there. Sherry Bond will be there.
Yeah.
Several people in Nashville.
Oh, that's going to be great.
They already sent their money in. Yeah.
All right, guys. Good to see you this morning, Larry.
Well, thank you, and happy trails to everybody.
Yes, yes, of course.
Thanks for having us on your show, Tom.
Oh, enjoyed it. And we'll see you guys in the morning at 9, and then, of course, Thursday. We'll be talking more about the Suns, and you guys have a good day.
Thanks, Truman.
From Sylvan Park Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street, it's the Truman Show on News Radio WGNS, FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and streaming online at WGNSradio.com.